Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
4th Street in Lewis.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yeah, if you're with us, it is a Wednesday afternoon. Our number on the Lenape Solar line is 1-800-795-9565. We've been talking about favorite announcers. Didn't mention Bob Costas, by the way. Smooth, outstanding. Saw him on the Belmont Stakes the other day. He is just the picture of professionalism. Calm. He is the Jim McKay of the modern era.
That's a good comparison there. And there's another good one, too, Jim McKay.
Yes. He's the Jim McKay of the modern era. They actually broadcast the Spirits of St. Louis early in his career with the ABA. Marvin Barnes out of Providence. Marvin Tire Iron Barnes. Played with Ernie DiGregorio for Dave Gavitt when Dave Gavitt was the head coach of Providence. They had a flight scheduled, the Spirits of St. Louis did, to fly from St. Louis to, I think it was Indianapolis, to play the Pacers. So, naturally, let's see, I'm trying to think. It was flying from Indianapolis to St. Louis. Going to fly from Indianapolis to St. Louis. The flight was going to leave at 11 Eastern time and arrive at 10:50 Central Time. Marvin Barnes looks at the ticket and says, I'm not getting on that flight. They said, why aren't you getting on the flight? He says, Marvin Barnes is not getting on any time machine. Because he thought he was he's going back 10 minutes right in time. No, Marvin, I'm sorry to tell you, we're going from Eastern time to Central time. It's a 50-minute flight.
Not getting on time.
Leaves at 11, leaves at 10. I'm not getting on any time machine. Our number's 1-800-795-9565. And Costas broadcast that wacky group. Bruce Parkhill's brother Barry played on that group. Barry was a great player. He was the ACC Player of the Year, a senior year at the University of Virginia. Great player. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Love to hear from you. It's a beautiful day out today. Gorgeous. In fact, it looks like we're going to get a string of these right in a row. It's about time. You know what? We deserve it. Hey, monsoon season's over. We have been inundated with rain here now for a month and a half. We deserve a series of beautiful days. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. And Kevin has already quit on the Phillies. He's quit. He's a free agent.
He will be by the end of the month, the way things are going.
Why wait the 17 days?
Listen, as I said earlier, I haven't quite waved the white flag yet, but I have it in my hand, okay, and I'm ready.
This is the Jim Rome interview with David Stern. And while it makes compelling radio, it's not good radio. It's bad radio. In my opinion, maybe you think it's great radio. He asked him about whether the fix was in on the NBA draft lottery. Stern said, I have two answers for that. The simple, easy one, no. The second one, a statement shaming you for asking. Rome went on to say that he thought that it was his job to ask because people wondered. Now, as a way of asking it. No, it's ridiculous, but that's okay, Stern said. Rome then said he didn't think the question was ridiculous. So then Stern responded, have you stopped beating your wife yet? Since Rome, by the way, has no history at all of spousal abuse, it appears that the commissioner was using a traditional loaded question as a tool to make his point, that the question itself, in this case about the lottery, presumes guilt. Rome responded, I don't think that's fair. After a little more back and forth, Rome said he hopes that Stern would not hold the question against him. Stern said, I would not hold it against you. You and I have been in more contentious talks than that, but it's good copy. You do these things for cheap thrills. Rome took offense to the characterization. Chief Trick, he said, you've been successful in making a career of it, and I keep coming on, Stern said. That prompted a flurry of exchanges. Rome, making a career of it? Making a career of what? What, cheap thrills? Stern, now you're getting mad. You're taking on the world, and now Jim Rome is pouting. Rome, I'm not pouting. I'm taking offense. Stern, you want to hang up on me? Rome, no, I'm seriously running out of time. Stern, listen, I gotta go. Call somebody important like Stephen A. Smith back. He's next. Rome, okay, you go make the call, and I'll go talk to somebody else too, I guess. Have a nice day. I did not hang up on him. We are officially out of time. We're not going to take that tact on the show, but it does make, obviously, for intriguing radio. When it comes to the NBA draft lottery, I want you to remember something, right? And I am not, you know, look, I prefer college basketball far more to the NBA. But in the lottery, and there are, what, 14 teams in the lottery? Right?
I think so, yeah.
There was only one franchise by way of deals that had two picks in the lottery. Thus, they had multiple opportunities. Guess which team that was?
The one that's trying to be sold.
The New Orleans Hornets. And they are sold already.
Well, yeah.
But they were the only one that had two out of the 14. They actually had multiple chances at it. All right? So we don't know which one actually won it. Whether it was the one that placed them in the seventh spot? Or whether it was the one that placed them in the first spot. It may have been the seventh spot that actually put them there. We don't know. But they had additional ping pong balls in there because they had the two picks.
It was convenient.
Convenient, yes. But I think where people are getting a little out of kilter is because the Chris Paul trade was rejected of him going to the Lakers, and he was sent to the Clippers instead when the league was running the team.
Listen, I know what he was trying, what he's trying to do, because typically that's what he does, and I'm not saying that's the way I would do it, but I have to admit the question popped into my mind about the fix as well. Now, would I have worded was the fix in for the lottery? Probably not. I probably personally would have worded it is, how do you respond to the people that say that the lottery was fixed?
Well, exactly. I mean, you have to ask the question because people have talked about it.
Right. But there's a way it's phrasing that I think causes the problem many times.
Right. This goes back to the Patrick Ewing days when the Knicks won the lottery. Right? And of course, LeBron ended up with the Cavaliers, correct? But if the lottery were fixed, why did Tim Duncan end up with San Antonio and not the Celtics?
That's a good question. I don't think many people have looked at it from that way.
Because the Celtics were down and out, and Reno had just taken over with tremendous fanfare in Boston. He left Kentucky and took the Celtics job. he was going to resurrect the Celtics and get them back to the Bird, McHale, Parrish, Johnson, Ainge, Walton era. And so he comes in with great fanfare. And the Celtics, by the way, had two picks in that lottery. Two. And San Antonio ended up with the first pick. And the Celtics ended up with pick three and pick five. One was Antoine Walker. The other was Ron Mercer. My apologies. I'm sorry. One was Chauncey Billups. And then the other one was Antoine Walker. Then eventually they acquired Ron Mercer. But Chauncey Billups was the Celtics pick. If it's fixed, why didn't the Celtics end up with Tim Duncan? Just asking.
Well, now,
and there's no lottery pick that turns you around. There are very few lottery picks that turn you around. I can tell you right now, Anthony Davis will go to New Orleans. He'll be an excellent defensive player. He'll be a good rebounder, and he'll probably average between, 8 and 11 points a game.
Well, let's go back to the give and take here between Rome and Stern. Now, Stern could have taken the high road in this because, we just talked about Rome phrasing the question a questionable way. But Stern could have taken the high road here and left it go and then gone. Then he jumps right back in and asks the question, have you stopped beating your wife yet?
Right.
I mean, I realize the point you're trying to make there, but you wouldn't take the high road. You're the commissioner. Take the high road.
Right. You would think you would have to. And I think part of it has to do with who's asking the question.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't think the commissioner comes back if Bob Costas asks him that question.
I think you're 100% correct there.
I think sometimes you put yourself in a spot and you look at it and go, you're already going with an attitude anyway about, what to expect. Now, I will say this in fairness to Jim Rome, right? I know you're going to be shocked at this.
Okay.
That actually when you do listen to his interviews, okay, and you put out the Jim Everett interview that he did where he kept calling him Chris,
right?
When you listen to his radio interviews, he actually gets a lot out of people because he actually is a pretty good interviewer. And he usually is on really good terms with the people he's interviewing. You listen to him interview athletes, he gets a lot out of them because they're on pretty good terms with, quote, Romy.
Well, let me ask you this. Would Stern have reacted the same way if this program was on ESPN where Jim Rome used to be?
If it was on TV, no.
Well, I mean,
yeah. Radio will.
Yeah, exactly. And ESPN. Where a lot of the NBA money is right now, as far as television.
Right. No, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, if this was on TV, first of all, I don't think they can control them.
No, I'm just saying, would the commissioner have reacted differently if this would have been on ESPN, whether it be radio or television, just because of the affiliation with the NBA that ESPN has?
Right.
Did he feel more open to giving it right back to him, as it were, because this was on CBS Sports Network?
Well, this was on the radio show.
Right. But it's part of his new, it's part of the new CBS Sports Network that's coming out.
Right. I don't know. That's a good question. Not sure. And that's a good question. That's something to contemplate.
Although, the other side to look at that too is, if the commissioner thought nobody else would pick up on this because he's on a small network with not a whole lot of affiliates right now, and that nobody else would hear him, that's pretty naive.
Right, but this was done on his radio show, which is national. Okay, this was not a sit-down interview.
Right.
This was the commissioner on the phone, thus the Stephen A. Smith reference at the end that he's going to go talk to him next. So, you know, so far we have cleverly avoided that in this show. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. I want to hear from you. We've been talking about your favorite announcers. We've had some conversation about that today. Love to hear. I don't care how far back it goes or whether it's somebody that's current. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you up front for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
The temperature in June can get hot, but not as hot as the lineup of Kias at Sunbury Motors Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia has 46 of the hottest, fastest-selling vehicles in America. Built in the USA, 2013 Kia Sorentos start at just $21,940. Built in the USA, 2012 Optimas from $19,975. 2012 Kia Souls for as low as $14,730. Want great fuel economy? Sunbury Motors Kia has the 40 mpg 2013 Kia Rio starting at $14,960. Or how about the 2012 Optima Hybrid with up to an amazing 47 mpg and starting at $25,957. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 5-year, 60,000-mile basic warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Kia, you get an extra set of tires. The hottest, fastest-selling cars are at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
I'm not playing this bumper music backwards, by the way.
Really?
Sounds like it, though, doesn't it?
You keep playing it backwards and like that, and I keep hearing that McCartney's alive.
You know, they did that on one of the... They literally did that on the release... Oh, just like that, the song escaped my head. The release that the anthology had. It was the single release. If you play the end of it backward... is John saying, turns out good, didn't it? Or something to that effect. But that was actually done. I'll have to find out the name of the song, but it was the release they had for the anthology.
I see.
I had a lot of time in the 90s to play songs backwards.
Yes, you did.
I
mean, tons of time. Yes. Lots of time. Well, you don't have so much time now. Now you're doing this show, and your life is just crazy good right now.
Yeah, I can't. Free as a Bird, that was the album. That was the song.
Yeah.
Now you can't do that anymore, thanks to MP3s and stuff. It's harder to play it backwards.
I say. All right. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Favorite announcer over the years that floats your boat, Harry Callis. Chris Schenkel, we've heard Keith Jackson. I've heard Myron Cope. Some of the personalities out there. You know, it could be Joe Buck, could be Bob Costas, could be Jim Nantz, could be Vince Scully. Scully did everything. Scully was actually an outstanding football announcer. Do you realize?
No, I didn't know that.
The Dwight Clark catch?
I forgot he did that. I forgot all about that.
What happened was at CBS is that Summerall was 1A and Scully was 1B. Scully did the NFC Championship game every year when CBS had the Super Bowl that year. And then Pat Summerall would do the Super Bowl. How about that one? And on golf, he was outstanding at golf. I mean, they always had Vin up in the tower at 18. Pat was on 17. Just, he was, you know, but you get known for doing one sport like that, and you don't realize that somebody's so versatile and good at other sports, and Vin Scully was. He was an excellent football announcer, excellent on golf.
I'm trying to find that cut, by the way.
Of what, Dwight Clark?
Yeah, I think I have it here. Hang on.
That's what I was telling you yesterday about the mythology in sports. Joe Montana, 4 Super Bowls. How many with Jerry Rice? 2. Really? People can't believe that. Everyone assumes he was, you know, Rice was there for all 4 hours, at least 3. I mean, his running backs in his first Super Bowl were Earl Cooper and Ricky Patton. His wideouts were Freddie Solomon and Dwight Clark. And here's Vince call.
You know what the best part of that whole call is?
Yeah, he goes silent.
Nothing.
At the end.
Exactly. Nothing after that for a while.
That's what we're taught to do.
Nothing after that. Let the crowd make the rest of the call.
You have to do that on TV. That's the standard. You can't do that on radio. Okay? You can let it breathe for a few seconds, but it's not a visual medium. But
it's
on
true.
TV, and that was a TV call, that's when you let the crowd and you absorb the moment. All right, Sarah Bartlett and the news. Talk about great broadcasters. I think she's the best.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
1-800-795-9565 is powered by Lenape Solar. You can always go to lenapesolar.com. Steve Jones Show Facebook page. Joe writes on the wall, there are only two voices that I enjoy listening to. One is Myron Yoy Cope. The other is Harry, that ball is out of here, Callis. Two extremely talented and unique individuals who can never be replaced. That goes with Jim, who called earlier and talked about Keith Jackson. We've heard Dick Enberg's name mentioned. We have heard Chris Schenkel. What about all of you out there? And we've heard Vin Scully.
Little roller up along first, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win it! If one picture is worth 1,000 words, you have seen about 1,000,000 words.
See, that's what you gotta love about Vin Scully.
Mm-hmm.
Jim McKay had that same thing, too. They had that writer's ability to use their words to make it sound even more poetic of a moment.
Absolutely. And then, of course, he also called the Kirk Gibson home run.
Although that one you don't hear as much. You hear the radio side more often.
Right, because Jack Buck says, I can't believe what I just saw.
I can't believe what I just saw, right.
Right. And it was... Of course, for Scully, one of the great moments was when he announced Sandy Koufax's perfect game. And it was... really poetic the way Vin Scully handled it. This was how he handled it was incredible. And how he called it was just, it was legendary. you know, when he talks about being in the City of Angels and what time it is and the whole thing. I mean, that's you can't put a price on that.
Oh, hang on, I'll find it.
It was something that, I mean, is really legendary. As the how he called it. And
into his windup, and the 2-1 pitch to Keene. Swung on and missed, strike two. It is 9:46 p.m. 2-2 to Harvey Keene, one strike away. Sandy into his windup. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed, the perfect game. Right field. It is 9:46 p.m. in the City of the Angels, Los Angeles, California, and a crowd of 29,139 just sitting in to see the only pitcher in baseball history to hurl four no-hit, no-run games. He has done it four straight years, and now he capped it on his fourth no-hitter. He made it a perfect game. And Sandy Koufax, whose name will always remind you of strikeouts, did it with a flourish. He struck out the last six consecutive batters. So when he wrote his name in capital letters in the record books, that K stands out even more than the O-U-F-A-X.
That was a great end.
He is the youngest man to ever announce a World Series game. And, 25 years of age.
And he doesn't sound much different.
No.
I mean, sound-wise, he doesn't sound much different.
No. No, he does not. I mean, he was with Connie Desmond, whom he credits to this day, Red Barber. Red Barber left the Dodgers after the 53 season because he wanted to go to work for the Yankees. And then he ascends to be the number one guy, and he's with Brooklyn until 57, and the club moves to Los Angeles. And he goes to Los Angeles with them. And in Southern California, it didn't take long. They love him for years. He won. Did the NFL for CBS Sports, golf. And it's an incredible career.
You know, I'm surprised we haven't heard anybody mention in, you know, we were talking about versatility. Al Michaels has been very versatile over the
years. Al Michaels is outstanding.
I mean, and not just for 1980, but, I mean, the way he handled the earthquake as well.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't surprised that play-by-play guy should be able to handle situations like that, because play-by-play guys, as opposed to news guys, all right? Handle things in front of them and describe as it happens.
Yeah, you're just telling what's going on.
You're quicker on your feet compared to a news guy. Play-by-play guy is just quicker on his feet. Simple as that. So, our number 1-800-795-9565. You can jump in and tell us who your favorites happen to be. We pay a little tribute to Vince Scully. I mean, the guy's had just an awesome career. You know, we mentioned the Dwight Clark catch, but he's called the 55 World Series when the Dodgers won their only one in Brooklyn. Don Larson's perfect game. He called Sandy Koufax's perfect game. Hank Aaron's 715th home run, because that was against the Dodgers. When Rick Monday rescued the American flag from protesters in 76, he was the announcer. We heard the Buckner call. Tom Browning pitched a perfect game against the Dodgers. He did that. Kirk Gibson's home run in the World Series. Fernando Valenzuela's no-hitter. Dennis Martinez, remember his perfect game against the Dodgers? Ooh, almost 20 years ago. And then just a few years ago, the Dodgers had four straight home runs against San Diego, and he called all those. So, I mean, he's had some incredible moments. And never met him. Everybody who has met him said he's just a gentleman's gentleman.
You were talking about how, we were both talking about how announcers handle crisis situations in sports. I don't think anybody handled anything better than Jim McKay did in 72.
Oh, no question. No question. With the, and there's an issue with that right now. They
really
wanted to have a moment. The Israeli delegation wanted to have a moment in the opening ceremonies 40 years later.
Uh-huh. I didn't hear about this.
And the International Olympic Committee will not allow it. They will not allow it.
Well, that was a big black eye for the Olympic Committee, to say the least.
Well,
and I'm sure they don't want to remember that particular moment that way.
Right. Yeah, here's the story. The Israeli government, hold on a second here. The Israeli government has rejected, the International Olympic Committee rejecting proposals from the Israeli government and two United States representatives to hold a moment of silence at the London Games in memory of the 11 Israeli athletes and coaches who were killed by the Palestinian terrorists in the 72 Olympics in Munich 40 years later. Last month, the Deputy Foreign Minister of Israel sent a letter to Jacques Roga, the president of the IOC, requesting a minute of silence 40 years after the Munich massacre. The letter was sent on behalf of Anki Spitzer and Ilana Romano, widows of two of the murdered athletes, who have been urging the Olympic Committee to hold a moment of silence at the Games for decades. Representatives Elliot Engel and Nita Lowey, Democrats of New York, also sent a letter to Roga this month requesting a minute of silence during the opening ceremony at the London Games July 27th. Unfortunately, this response is unacceptable as it rejects the central principles of the global fraternity on which the Olympic ideal is supposed to rest. The terrorist murders of the Israeli athletes were not just an attack on people because of their nationality or religion. It was an attack on the Olympic Games and the international community. Thus, it is necessary for the Olympic Games as a whole to commemorate this event in the open rather than only as a side event. On September 5th, 1972, eight Palestinian militants belonging to the Black September group broke into a dormitory at the Olympic Village where Israeli athletes and coaches were sleeping and took them hostage. After two of the Israelis were shot and killed, the militants had nine hostages and said they would release them in exchange for more than 200 Palestinian prisoners being held in Israel. Israel refused to negotiate, and a standoff ensued for 20 hours, captivating a global audience watching on television. The Israeli hostages and their captors were taken by helicopters to a military airfield where they had been promised to be flown to Cairo. Instead, West German sharpshooters tried to rescue the Israelis, setting off a gun battle in which five Palestinians, a German police officer, and the nine hostages were killed. In his letter to Roga, Elian wrote that the Olympic Games are a unique global event which transcends nations, peoples, and boundaries and are meant to be a joyous event for all. However, for Israel and its people, each summer Olympic Games also reminds us of the brutal murders which took place at the Munich Olympic Village during the summer of 72. He requested a minute of silence to send a clear message that we must not forget the terrible events of Munich 40 years ago so they will not be repeated. Jacques Roga responded with a letter that said he planned to attend a reception at London's Guildhall, traditionally hosted by Israel's Olympic Committee in memory of the victims, and the IOC is always strongly represented, he wrote. He says, we strongly sympathize with the victims' families and understand their lasting pain. What happened in Munich in 72 strengthened the determination of the Olympic movement to contribute more than ever to building a peaceful and better world by educating young people through sport practice without discrimination of any kind in the Olympic spirit. Roga said the IOC has officially paid tribute to the memories of the athletes on several occasions and will continue to do so in close coordination with the National Olympic Committee of Israel. Gershon Keter, a senior member of the Deputy Foreign Ministry, said in a telephone interview that his office believed it was more than an Israeli issue. So they were killed because they were Israelis, but they weren't killed in Tel Aviv. They were killed as people in the Olympic Games. In their letter, Lowy and Engel said that the large television audience for the opening ceremony provided a unique opportunity to send a message that can literally reach every corner of the globe. We are not persuaded by arguments articulated by members of the IOC and others that a minute of silence would politicize the Olympic Games or risk alienating countries that have disagreements with Israel. They wrote that the Munich 11 were athletes, coaches, and referees proudly representing their country, and they were gunned down in an act of terrorism. A minute of silence would be a recognition that their sacrifice and a show of unity against terrorism, period, not an endorsement of any political position. The families of the victims said that they would begin a campaign of persuasion with the Olympic Committee, foreign ministry officials said. While members of the victims' families have in the past made appeals to the Olympic Committee, Elian's was a rare request from the Israeli government itself on behalf of the families. Romano, one of the widows, said of Roga's response, I'm so angry about this letter. If the Olympic Games don't say anything, nothing is going to change.
Interesting, to say the least. Well, the whole time you're reading that, I'm thinking back to, seeing the... I've read Jim McKay's book, and right. One of the things that he talks about is having to go from sportscaster to newscaster in that moment. And he said being full of emotion and having to control yourself and trying to be a professional, but yet communicate what's going on. He said the only thing I could think of is they're all gone.
And that's exactly what he said. It was exactly the right thing to say at the right moment in the right tone. And as for this, you can only be cowards for so long. We'll come back with more after this. All right, down the stretch we come. It's 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Talking about your favorite announcers today and over the years, which ones that you just hear and go, yep. And Kevin, of course, had to mention Dick Hort and the Chief. And, you know, it's like, okay, fine.
I should mention the Chief, though.
Yeah, I know.
I should mention both of those guys.
I know you should.
They have to put up with me every year.
I mean, I had to end up doing it, but that's okay. That's fine. Yeah, I'm not saying it's weird.
Listen, after 17 years with somebody.
I know how your loyalty works. You know? It's like Jack said to me one time. He says, it's our 13th year together. I said, yes, yeah, you know, a lot of marriages don't go that far.
Yep, we've had that long going in the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave's my winter wife. Yeah. Because you spend a lot of time together in those months during basketball season. But, yeah, 16, I think it's 16 years for football, 17 for basketball with the same guy, and I've been very lucky both places.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and I talked to Dick yesterday, too. I'm going to see Dick tomorrow night. I have to fly to Philadelphia tomorrow night. So, but, yeah, it's yeah, unfortunately around here, so, you know, Patrick Chambers' father passed away this week. So I'm going down to the wake tomorrow night. But it's awfully tough. Yeah, it was not expected. How about that? But tomorrow we'll ramp up another show for you. Same thing on Friday. Tell you what I'm working on to get.
Is this going to be a surprise to me?
I think fans will like to hear. No, you already know.
Oh, okay.
No.
I like to be surprised every now and then.
Yeah. No, you're kid. No. Here we go.
Listen, the delay isn't long enough for me to. The delay isn't long enough for me to be comfortable to have him on the air.
Actually, it's Matt McGloin.
That'll be a good one.
I think fans would like to hear.
That should be a good one.
Guy that's currently the starting quarterback for the.
He has to be on cloud nine and then some. Right,
but again, let's listen closely to the Bill O'Brien interview when I talked to Bill on Monday. Matt's the starting quarterback. Now Matt has to work to keep the job.
Right, but I mean, just being named that and the confidence that goes with that has to make him feel good.
Which, for the first time since 2009. It has been since 2009, since everyone knew the starting quarterback was going to be going into the season. It changes a lot of things when you know ahead of time. Changes a lot of things. And I can sit down with Matty at some point and do an interview with him, but I'd actually like to get him live on the show, so, you know, and see that angle. It just depends. Because he doesn't have classes. He's graduated. He'll eventually have to get into graduate school, which he is. He'll be taking graduate school courses this year.
What's his major?
Communications.
That's right.
So he will have to be in graduate school. So he's not taking any classes right now, at least to my knowledge, not taking any classes, because he's already graduated. And then there's John Urschel. He graduated in math with a 4.0 in 3 years.
That's just scary.
He'll have to take graduate school courses.
I don't see that as being a challenge.
I believe his will be in rocket science. Jack Ham said to me one time, he says, you know, he says, Urschel's never had a B. I said, ironically, I said, neither have we.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.